Monastery Courtyard. For a few minutes, the blaster fire from the droid position paused. It happened sporadically. Maybe it was the time when they received new orders, new programming, and had to reboot their systems. Rex hadn't worked it out yet, but he took the opportunity to recharge and reload every weapon in the cache they'd assembled, check his comm frequencies for any lapse in the SEP jamming, and whip off his helmet for a precious second or two to cram high-calorie dry rations into his mouth. Without his bucket, as everyone called it, he was blind, deaf, and vulnerable on the battlefield. His helmet meant survival. It was that stark. He wiped his head with the palm of his glove and dropped the helmet back into place again, securing the seals. Nax glanced at the chrono on his forearm plate.
"You think Skywalker stopped to pick up a pot of calf for us?" "I still can't raise him," Rex said, mouth full.
Skywalker couldn't have started out any farther from them than the western boundary of the monastery. A Randorn mollusk on crutches could have covered that in the time since the general said he was on his way.
"I just hope it's not connected to the big rumbling noise and the smoke we saw a while ago. But he'll be here. He said he would, and so he will be."
Korik edged up the barricade and poked a strip cam over the top. The image appeared in Rex's HUD, and he surveyed the view of the droid position. It was just a big courtyard, now almost unrecognizable as a place of contemplation, with a lot of deep craters, dead tanks, and the wreckage of assorted vessels of various sizes. Fires still burned. Rex's squad, he'd stopped kidding himself by calling it a company, was barricaded behind a burned-out ATTE that they'd gradually reinforced with dead droids and anything else they could drag into position. It was now just him, Korik, Del, Addy, Zir, and Nax. The droids knew that. So the fact that they were still alive after an hour or so troubled Rex greatly. The droids had to have some plan up their sleeves, or wherever droids kept plans. He didn't know exactly how many tinnies were left, but it was an awful lot more than six of them. Drive noise overhead distracted him, but he couldn't see what it was, not without moving beyond the barricade. It sounded like vulture droids. Those were the tinnies that bothered him most. Anything packing that much firepower that could fly, run, and learn was his worst nightmare. And his broken rib hurt. He decided to lay off the painkillers until he really needed them again.
"I don't get it,"
said Zir, one of the company combat engineers. He had both arms deep in the chest cavity of a super battle droid, as if he was doing heart surgery.
"If this had been Jabim, they'd have been all over us by now and our heads would be stuck on poles. What's stopping the tinnies doing that? They know how few men we've got because they were guarding us."
"They're dumb,"
Del said.
"At least the regular tinnies are. If they're not lined up in a row and just firing, they're lost. I don't think the SBDs are that much smarter." "Well, this barb wasn't for a start."
Zir knelt back on his heels and began bolting the SBD's plates back into place.
"But he's got a new outlook on life."
Nax still clutched his bolt cutters.
"They're waiting for that mad bald woman to think for them, but she's too busy looking for the general."
"No, we're bait," said Addy. "As long as we're alive, they know Skywalker's going to come for us. It's him they want, and the slug."
Rex checked his HUD again. No comms, no tactical display worth a Mott's backside. Nothing to indicate anyone was coming to extract them. He didn't even have access to HNE networks. And when he didn't know things for sure, Rex tended to plan for the very worst. He hadn't given up on Skywalker yet, though.
"Okay, lads. Calf break over. Now we could wait until the tinnies start up again, or we could send our special ambassador to explain our position. How's he doing then, Zir?"
"I think he's ready to walk, sir,"